Well, hi there. Here we are again. It's good to have you with us. This is Volume 7, Number 22, Gifts for a Bride. You know, this is being recorded in June, and of course, June is usually thought of as a wedding month, and so this is very appropriate, I guess, at this time for this to be Gifts for a Bride. And the scripture for this session, and this is a rather lengthy scripture, and I'm going to attempt to read this here, because I want you to understand where this comes from. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 24, verses 1 through 23. And it starts out and says, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant of his household, the one in charge of all he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. The servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there, Abraham said. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, To your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show your kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they are finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beka, and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" Now, this story goes on in Genesis, but that will get us where we need to go right now for our time together. Isaac and Rebekah have often been listed as main characters in the scripture we're focused on for this message. We're going to look a bit deeper into these verses to see what else might be found there. First of all, let's talk about the servant and his master here. You see, Abraham can be seen as a type of God the Father. He summons his chief, oldest servant. Now, the chief, that can be translated chief servant or oldest servant, to give him a task. Now, this is what it said. It said, he said that the chief servant is his household, the one in charge of all he had. Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living. God wanted to keep this lineage of Abraham pure. He had a reason. Because on down the road here, we're going to find Israel comes out of all of this. But we'll go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. Now the servant here, listen to me carefully, the servant here is a type of the Holy Spirit. So Abraham is a type of God the Father, and the servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. There was no provision for failure, you see, in this whole plan. There was no provision for failure or settling for less than the father wanted. The servant was to bring back a bride from whom the legacy of the father of many nations, that's what Abraham means. You see, he had been made a promise. God had made him a promise. And it was through this that that promise would be fulfilled. There was to be no looking back. Again, in verse 7, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's house, and this is Abraham speaking, and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. To your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. Okay. When Jesus came and he fulfilled the law, there was a major change made in relating to God. And now that that has happened, and the Holy Spirit has come, we are not to go back to the law. This is a foreshadowing of that in the book of Genesis. Once you get to the bride, once you get to be the bride, once the bride is betrothed to the son, you don't go back to the old way. You don't go back to the former things. Now, I want you to notice what happened here. And, you know, this message is titled Gifts for a Bride. The scripture tells us, the servant took as much wealth of the father with him as gifts for the bride. In verse 10, it says, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. Do you understand that as a believer, the Holy Spirit, remember here we're saying this servant is a type of the Holy Spirit, that it is through the Holy Spirit that gifts are brought to the believer. And here we see there are all kinds of good things. We live around people, all of us live around people, who think that God's out to get them, God's out to smash them, God's out to punish them, God's out to make life miserable for them because they weren't perfect. Not so. Because, you see, once you're betrothed to the Son, once you're the bride, the Holy Spirit brings all good things to you. The Holy Spirit comes with all the good things of heaven for you. Comes with gifts that you would be blessed. Now that's exciting, and that's what everybody wants to hear, because most people today want to hear, okay, what's God going to do for me today? Well, that's fine. That's a good expectation. But you must remember something. There's also the other side of that equation, and that is, what is the bride going to do today for God? How is that relationship going to work? Now, there's an interesting thing here about the servant. It is important to note the will of the servant is shown in his prayer. He said in his prayer, "Give me success today." Remember, Jesus taught, when he taught his disciples the disciples' prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the disciples' prayer. When he taught his disciples the prayer, he talked about, give us today our daily bread. Notice it was a daily blessing. Notice when you look at the children of Israel in the wilderness, what did they get? They got a daily blessing. You say, well, we've got the plan ahead. Well, there's got to be some planning, but understand something. If we would let God do the planning, and we would just trust each day to Him, He will cause those days to be tied together with what? All kinds of good things from the Master. All kinds of good things from the Master. So, here's the servant, and he says, first of all, give me success today. But why does he say to give him success? And show kindness to my Master. How many of us get up in the morning and say, Lord, give us success today so that we can show the glory of our Master through the success that you have given us? That's what this servant is saying. That's what this type of the Holy Spirit here is saying. There is so much, my friends, there is so much to be learned from the 24th chapter of Genesis. So much to be learned. I want you to know that the 24th chapter of Genesis is the first time the word gifts is used in Scripture. Isn't it interesting? Because that tells us on through all of Scripture then, the meaning, using the rule of first use, the meaning of gifts. What is it? What are the gifts? The gifts are all kinds of good things from the Master. Those are the gifts. The gift is not cancer. The gift is not your child died. The gift is not you're maimed or hurt or sick all the time. That's not the gift. The gift is all of this richness and blessing. Notice I didn't just say riches, I said richness. Because when you walk in the blessing of God, understand something. If you're a believer, you are not healed because you were blessed. It is because you walk in the blessing that you are healed. Very important thing to understand, because the gifts of the blessing and the grace of God, all good things from the Master have been given to the believer. If you're a believer, they've been given to you. You don't have to ask for them. You need to be saying thank you for them, accepting that they're already yours. Now remember, he is at the place where they're going. The women are going to come out from the town, and they're going to get the water and carry it back in as it's starting to get in the cooler part of the day, so that the water then would hold its coolness all through the night. Because if you came to get the water in the morning, what would happen? The water would get hot all day. So they came out later in the day to get the water, and they would come down and. And now the servant is there waiting, and he's prayed his prayer, give me success today and show kindness to my Master. How many people never get past give me success today in their prayers? Unconcerned about being a blessing or glorifying the Master. But this is a faithful servant. And so he says, please do that. Now, let's take a look at what happens when Rebecca comes. What is the response? Just as the faithful servant had asked to happen, the girl filled his desire for a worthy response. I mean, it was such a tremendous response. Because what was her response to him? Verse 18 there in the 24th chapter. Drink, my Lord, she said, and quickly lowered her jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking. Now, he had asked her to do this. How many people today, even in relating to God, God has asked us to do many things, and how many people would have said, get it yourself. You're not all the power. You want it? Get it yourself. I'm busy. How many people would have said, well, what's in it for me? How much are you going to pay me? How much are you going to give me to give you the water? I want you to notice the heart of Rebecca. Rebecca's heart was to serve. We need those kind of hearts in the body of Christ, my friends. The heart to serve. The heart to bring glory to God. Because when God does a thing, it's not to bring glory to us. It is to bring glory to Him. If you want to bring glory to yourself, you've fallen into the same thing that Lucifer fell into in heaven when he said, I would be like God. I would be as powerful. I would be I. But that's not what Rebecca says. Rebecca says, basically, she's saying why her actions, not only will I bless you, but while you're drinking and taking your rest and enjoying the water, I will go and I will give your camels water to drink until, notice what she says, until they have finished drinking. Not until I'm through carrying water to them, but until they are satisfied. Look at the blessing that is just absolutely just flowing from this young woman. This is the woman to be the bride. Believers are the bride of Christ. This is to be our attitude. Oh, drink, my Lord. My Lord, drink. Drink of whatever you want. Whatever I have, it is yours. And not only will I give to you, but I will go out and bless others in your name. I will go out and bless other things that are a part of your treasure. I will bless that too. How marvelous a story. You see, there's victory here. The faithfulness of the Father, the servant, and the bride brought victory as the Son was able to complete his function. Now we're jumping ahead there beyond the scripture we read. But when Rebecca goes back and she becomes, in fact, the bride, the wife, from her come other children, and from those more children and more children and more children, until the promise that God had given to Abraham that his descendants would be more numerous than the sands of the sea. That's what God wants to do for you. But he wants to do it for people who say, drink, my Lord, and quickly provide him what he wants from you, and then say, not only will I give to you, but I will give to others on your behalf. And we know that we, as believers, have been given all kinds of good things from the Master. That's victory, my friends. That's victory. That's blessing. That's what the life is to be like. Not, oh, I wonder what God's going to do for me today. Oh, I feel so bad when I crawl out of bed in the morning. I hope he just does something for me. No, when we crawl out of bed in the morning, it should be, drink, my Lord, of all of me that you want. We should be praying, Lord, you put the person in front of me and pray the prayer. If they do this, just as this faithful servant did, if they do this, then I'll know they're the one. I'll know they're the one. You see, it's all of these elements working together that bring victory. Brings victory to God's plan. Brings victory to what the Holy Spirit would do within us. Brings victory to what Christ did to give us the opportunity to be the bride. But we need to stop looking back to the law. And we need to be looking to grace and how we can spread the good news of the word of grace around the world. That is so important. There's where victory comes. You're the bride, and the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, you're the bride, and the Holy Spirit is the servant that brings success and brings all kinds of good things from the Master. So I would say to you, my friends, live in victory, and this is how you can do it. Go to that 24th chapter of Genesis and read it over and over and over again. I will tell you, even in these 23 verses, I have just skimmed. I have not begun to hit the depth of what's here. But I hope this whets your appetite for it. I hope that you can see how you can know what God's will is in your life, because right there it is. If you're the believer, you're the bride. And look at what the servant was sent out to do on behalf of the Father. Pray with me now, Heavenly Father. For those times that we've fallen short, we are really sorry. Oftentimes we don't understand what's at stake. We don't understand many times what you want because we've neglected your word, or we've neglected to put into practice what we've read or understood or heard that's been taught to us. We repent of that. We turn around and we go in another direction. We go in your direction. We come running to you. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to receive us as your word says you will. And that you will allow us to do the kinds of things as the bride that Rebecca showed that she was willing to do. Give us that kind of a heart, Father. A heart for you and your will and your work. A heart for others. A heart to touch lives. We ask this in the marvelous, wonderful name of Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. Well, I hope you've gotten something out of this little time together that we've had here. I ask you, do consider and spend some time in Genesis. So this is a sojourner saying, until next time, the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment.